And here we go. Snakes, rats, and goats. Welcome back. Talking about Survivor Season 34, Episode 4. This is your co-host, Ryan Elder, and with me, as always, is...
your co-host, Scott Chernoff.
All right,
was Scott. Was it really only Episode 4? Oh, because the first episode was 2.
Yeah, okay. You know, some people say 5, some people say 4.
I can't keep up.
I'm going to stick to what I started with and, you know...
Yeah, this is a exciting way for me to open the show by inquiring about that.
Yeah, Scott, what a great episode, right?
It was a doozy.
Yeah,
it was insane. I'm really excited to talk about it. Like, this season has been out of control. Last night was out of control. I'm really excited to talk about it with our amazing guest that I'm going to bring in a minute, because I really want to hear her takes on some of these players. Before that, just really quick, I want to give an update on last week's guest, Ryan. This is new information.
Oh, I don't even know this. Yeah.
No, you don't. I've been saving this. For those of you who didn't listen last week, and if you didn't, shame on you. Seriously.
Yeah.
Turn it off now and go back and listen to that. We had on the actor and comedian Fred Stoller, famous character... guy and cartoon guy, was completely baffled by a very baffling episode of Survivor. Had seen very little Survivor before and came away from the show being one of our only guests ever to just be like, I don't think I ever want to see this again. Do I have that right, Ryan?
I think so, yeah. I feel like maybe Allison was kind of like, eh.
Well, she hated it.
Yeah.
She hated it. She's the one who hated it.
Yeah.
And Fred was like, it's not for me.
Okay, yeah, then you're
Fred,
right.
Fred, on Tuesday night, Fred texted me out of the blue on Tuesday evening and said, out of the blue, just, I just might watch it now. Or some. Dot, dot, dot. And then I texted back. Because it's completely out of the blue. Survivor? Question mark. And he said, yeah, did I miss it? This was the night before it was going to be on. I said, no, it's on Wednesday.
Nice, nice.
So that's just a little update from the guy who
we
claimed
did it,
that it was not his thing. We did it.
We did it.
And with that, let's bring in somebody who I know has... a lot of Survivor watching history under her belt because she watched the first handful of seasons with me. She's one of my best friends in the world. She is an amazing comedy writer and performer with whom I have collaborated so many times. She is also one of the people who casts the amazing documentary Now on IFC.
Oh, so
and
good.
She is the...
So in fact,
it's an incredible
stop
show.
This podcast right now and go watch that instead.
Right. Turn this off. Binge both seasons of documentary now. Then
come
then
back.
You'll
we'll
have
still
all
be
the more appreciation for Andy Crocker, who is also the founder. This is her new brainchild of Playdate, which is an improv performance by Parents of Babies. Do I have this right, Andy?
That is correct. Parents of Babies.
Parents of Babies. And it benefits Planned Parenthood, which is a cause I wholeheartedly support. And is it for babies and parents in the audience? Or
it's for adults, but we have our babies strapped to us the entire time.
Okay, right. I failed to identify the most interesting part of the actual performance, which is you guys are doing improv with babies. And, like, I haven't seen a show yet. Are the babies a part of the scene, or are they completely ignored?
Sometimes, because you can't help it. But we basically just try to do the show with the babies attached to us, and if they try to ruin things, we just try to incorporate them into
with babies and, like, baby Bjorn?
Yeah, we just have, like, we're just wearing...
Now, if I interrupt, Ryan, just know that sometimes it's cutting out, so I can't hear what's going on all the time.
Okay, well, you're fine.
Professional podcasting operation. Well, that's amazing. Does it is it different ultimately with your baby strapped to you?
Yeah, it's real. It's the whole thing is a little chaotic and delightful. So I'm excited about it.
Some of the babies sleep through the whole show, and others do they interrupt scenes?
Yeah, and some of them are older than others, so they have like opinions. But
I gotta get myself. I gotta get myself to the show.
Yeah, me too.
Is there a place online? Is there a Facebook page or a website that people can go to?
Yes, playdatecomedy.info. Don't be intimidated by the .info.
Gosh, that must have been an affordable website. All right. Well, this is fantastic. We all want to hear more about it, but let's be honest.
No, we don't.
It's very late at night as we're recording this, but we're all here because of Survivor.
We're
true?
All here. Yes. We're all here to talk about Debbie.
Are
we going to talk about anything but Debbie?
This was the perfect episode to have you watch. And I didn't know because we booked this a few weeks ago. And I was just like, in my mind, I was just like, please let Debbie and Ty still be in the game.
Yeah.
When Andy's on, because I know. Now, Andy, okay, just one more thing for the audience. You watched the first several seasons. You grew weary of it. You got tired of Miles and I and myself talking about it.
It was not even the show's fault. I feel like it was you and Miles.
So ultimately, I had to get a podcast to direct my energy because otherwise it could have led, you know, to me losing all my relationships.
Yeah, I think you saved a lot of people, a lot of
it sounds like that's my... I should take responsibility for that or all the
yeah,
credit.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that for all of us.
You're welcome.
But
you're welcome.
Also, Andy was a guest in our first season of podcasting, which was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it feels like it was just yesterday.
Doesn't it? It really does. We took a last season of Survivor off, so we're back now.
Okay.
But that was during Worlds Apart, season 30. We're now on season 34. And a couple of the Worlds Apart people that you saw then are on now, but I doubt you remember them because they were the two.
I don't remember anything, and they all look the same to me. And it's dirty people with the schmata on their head and the sand. I don't know if they're new people or old people.
Is there a single person you recognize?
Sandra.
Okay.
But I might have just recognized her from your Facebook page.
That's likely. That's very likely.
Now, you've seen Sandra because she was on with Rupert. And I know you watched the Rupert season.
He wasn't really a game changer, but he was a heart warmer.
Yes. He's been on 4 times.
Yeah, enough already with the Rupert.
Enough.
We're done with Rupert. But we got Sandra on our third go-round. And before we get to Debbie, I just got to say, Sandra is out of control, and she is amazing. That is some. I mean, she is simultaneously gives zero fucks and is downright mean if she feels like it, and yet suffers no consequences.
It's amazing.
And at the same time, plays this next level puppet master game that blew me away. I was like, what? But I was like, okay, I guess they're going to get out Michaela because Sandra's framing Michaela for a crime.
That's not how it works, man.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about why don't we get right into this? Should we talk about the sugar?
Where do we start?
Wait, are we going in chronological order? Because I have things that happened the sugar and before Debbie went crazy.
All right, we'll get to that. We'll go in chronological order.
There's just so much to encompass in this episode.
I need to talk about the horribleness of offering people peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on a sandy beach. I feel like that is cruel and disgusting.
Well, what, and like warm milk.
I mean, everything about it seemed horrible.
Well, I feel, peanut butter is pretty exciting, I think, if you're hungry.
Yeah, I well, first of all, I hate sand. I should just put this out there, though. Like, okay. I just think sand is the worst.
Yeah.
I just the idea that, like, you have these two stickiest substances around, and the wind is blowing, and it looks super delicious, and you bite into it, and you know it's full of sand. And
I hadn't thought about the wind.
I would just like to ask Miles at some point if all the food is full of sand.
I bet it is. And often when they take even the beauty shots of the food, like there's flies buzzing around it.
Yeah.
It does not always look very
appetizing.
It
always looks terrible. Like, I've never seen uglier pizza in my life than when they give pizza as a reward.
It's also like they're so starving. And some of the meals, like last week when they were like, your reward will be coffee. And it just sounded like he was, your reward will be diarrhea. You haven't eaten in 2 weeks.
Raw cookie dough that's been baking in the sun.
Yeah, here's some milk.
Okay, now I've said that. You can talk about whatever you want. But no, I just knew that was
that's first on the list is the reward challenge.
Gotcha.
Which was for peanut
butter.
Was
that the first thing that happened?
Yeah, I mean, there was the cold open with JT being in trouble, Sandra wanting payback, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know what? JT found an idol. Let's talk about that.
Dirty D.
Yeah, JT's dirty D.
This was such a roller coaster. Yeah. Because the other thing, Andy, you should know is that, like, I love Sandra so much, and I love Suri, who you didn't see much of last night, but this is her fourth time playing. She's African American lady on one of the other tribes, and I love them both. And all I am always tense in every episode that they're in danger. Mm-hmm. And I spent this whole episode when JT found that idol, I was like, oh no,
yeah,
this spells certain doom for Sandra.
I feel like you have that disorder that he has on like Hannibal, where you have like extreme empathy. Like, I feel like you're really feeling what's happening to these people.
I think I might. Thank goodness I channeled it into a reality show instead of serial
murder.
Killing and cannibalism. It was one or the other.
Yeah.
No, me. No, I'm tense, so tense. And, like, okay, you go, Ryan. I can't contain myself.
So JT finds the idol the same way that Ty did in the previous episode, which is the sort of the X marks the spot thing. And I had heard they were going to hide idols in different ways every time, but maybe that just means like per beach.
Yeah, I think they have to do the same thing on each tribe. Yeah,
okay,
to make
so
it
now
legal fair.
Yeah, so now JT's will go back in the game, and it will be one of the ones where like Ty finds later, where you have to wet all the boards around you, all the wood around you, got to get water on all the wood around you until you see the
weird.
I know. I love that, though. I think that's really cool.
But JT, of course, goes marching into the woods for an idol. I don't know why nobody else looks.
Are there a million idols? It seemed like there was a whole lot of idling going on.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah, that's sort of been the trend, is that like they'll put out an idol for each tribe, and then as soon as it gets used, they put another one out somewhere. They've got crazy new things, like they sometimes hide them during challenges. It's a whole thing.
With the
idols. It seemed like a lot of idols. I also, to be fair, like didn't realize there were three tribes until like halfway through the episode.
Yeah, well,
I was very confused.
It's understandable. Look.
I haven't seen it in several years.
Complicated show.
Luckily, you know, they don't focus on the ones we don't care about too much.
Right.
So, well, we don't care about them yet.
Let me give Andy the other bit of history here. That's very important.
And it's late. I might fall asleep.
Understand this episode, the context in terms of Ryan and me. So, one of Ryan's all-time favorite players is JT.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
Really?
No, I think he played one of the best seasons ever, but he's not my favorite player, one of my favorite players.
Okay. Well, let me rephrase. Ryan thinks JT is really smart.
I wouldn't even go there. I definitely don't think he's smart anymore.
JT has made some incredibly questionable moves in the game in various seasons that Ryan has argued. And look, a lot of people agree with Ryan that they weren't bad moves because if they had paid off, they would have been brilliant.
Well, yeah, if wishes and butts were coconuts, we'd all have a hairy cherry. What is it called? I don't even know what that phrase is.
We've been down this road a few times and before this season. And then as this season progressed, JT has made huge, risky, fun-to-watch, bold moves, pretty dumb and ill-advised, and ended up with him leaving the game last night. And man, JT's legacy, Ryan.
Yeah.
A little bit tarnished.
Yeah.
I feel like before people were like giving him the benefit of the doubt, like, well, he had one great season and one season where he, you know, made a big blunder. So,
I mean, his first season wasn't just great, Scott. It was like record setting. It was like the gold standard for many years. There were people on his season with him saying, I want JT to win, even if it means I lose. Like, he's the first person to get every vote at Tribal, at Final Tribal. Like, it was amazing. And so I give him a lot of credit for that. And I was willing to give him the benefit
He had a lot of natural charm and was very likable. And he managed to team up with a really smart guy.
Yeah.
Steven. And I think what we've learned in hindsight is that Steven was the brains of that operation.
Yeah.
And what happened to Steven?
Steven's dead.
Yeah, you don't get to you don't get to pick who's on the cast with you, unfortunately.
But I mean, JT won.
JT got all the votes in the final two, and Steven got zero. Because nobody knew, because everybody loved JT and Steven was like the nerd, and nobody knew that he was really the mastermind.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Now I'm having like severe empathy for Steven.
Well, then, a lot of us did. And then he came back a few seasons ago, and a lot of fans were. Ryan and I were both every week, like actively, I'm worried about Steven. I'm worried about Steven. And now I'm always worried about Sandra, but it sure doesn't seem like, I mean,
Sandra's not worried about you. So don't, you know,
is there any way? I mean, I know the odds of her winning for a third time are very minute. And yet, are they?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Every week it just seems like she's running the show even more than she ever did before.
She's not going to win because Debbie's going to win. I think we all
Yes. I love it.
Well, and Sandra has now dispatched the other two winners in the game, too.
No, I've decided.
Okay, let's talk about Debbie. Let's dig in.
Andy, he's a wanker.
You've never seen Debbie before last night. What did you think?
Well, when I realized that Debbie existed and you had never told me about her, I just wanted to tell you that you crushed my heart.
Oh, man, I should have pulled that.
I watched that part like 10 times.
It was so good.
Crushed my heart.
She is amazing.
Yes.
I will say this. I have, hey, producers of Survivor, if you're listening, the fact that because they're like all returners, they don't feel the need to put like on their chirons any like fun facts about them or like in real life. Like, I was dying to know like what, like I really wanted it to be like Debbie. Like,
you have just hit upon, an amazing topic.
Yes. I can't believe Ryan, that's what you asked. This is too good.
Ryan also, Debbie is one of Ryan's. I am correct. I'm confident in saying she's one of your all-time
favorite
characters.
Debbie is one of my all-time favorite characters. I wouldn't say she's not one of my all-time favorite players, per se. But yeah, I love Debbie. And so with Debbie's first season, it became a running gag what her job was. She bragged about having so many different jobs. that eventually they were chironing her every time with a new job. I think she had six.
Which they've never done for anybody before. I've got to look this up. Hold on. There's got to be somebody who has to make a list.
So she's a compulsive liar?
What?
Is she a compulsive liar?
No, I think she's delusional.
Oh my gosh, I think that
a lot of her jobs are true. Like brief jobs that she's actually had, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's evidence.
So, like,
enough
gymnast.
Evidence.
We know she was a gymnast.
She did. Hey, she took gymnastics for 10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
But we don't know, like, what 10 years those were.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
The first
and were
10
they?
Years.
Were they non-consecutive ones?
The good point. Years. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Well,
yeah.
the. Okay, so a couple that I'm seeing here on a partial list. Oh, geez, Wikipedia. Sorry, guys.
That's
include chemist, civil air patrol captain.
What?
Electronics expert, waitress, and part-time model.
Oh, don't forget caretaker to nuns.
Oh, yeah. It's not on this list. This is a bad list.
Was she also an Emiliano Zapata quoter? Because she should be fired because she got that quote wrong and it made me crazy.
Oh, did she?
Oh, yeah. That was really frustrating.
Yeah. Most people
I'd rather
fight
on my legs than die on my feet. Like, what? You're just saying words in the wrong order, Debbie. You're the worst.
The worst or the best?
Both.
Yeah, Debbie, and like she, what? First of all, when she said "you crushed my heart," you guys, afterward, was she laughing?
Yeah, she
or
was laughing.
Crying or both?
She was maniacally like, it was a laughter that was dark. It was coming from a dark, scary place.
I thought you were going to say maniacally crying.
Well, both. It was just this, like, demonic,
maniacally crying. That is a great phrase.
She had never had a meltdown like that, right, on this show.
They wouldn't bring her back.
No, they would. Are you kidding me?
Legitimately mentally ill.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That would for sure get her brought back if she had done this the first time.
Well, but she's edging toward Brandon Hans territory, who really
I don't
did
a, think about Debbie edging.
Ever will come back.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. She, but I mean, in the past, that had never. She was just always kooky and crazy.
Yeah, you're right. No.
And sometimes she would get pissed, but this was. It looked like she just could not handle her failure in the job.
Yeah, it was sad.
She could not face the reality. At least that's what the edit told us. And the edit really wanted to tell us.
Because
they even, which they never do, showed a little clip of that to contradict her, you know?
Yeah.
Like they never do that where they show that little flashback
really
clip.
Happened.
Earlier in the episode. Yeah. What, Andy?
Yeah, I was agreeing. That was crazy. And
it was... Go ahead.
And her going like, it's so slippery. That was the other
thing. Yeah, it was so slippery.
Yeah.
I love that impression.
It's so insane to me. Like, the edit really threw her under the bus. If she is correct and it took Haley longer to do it than it took her to do it, the edit really threw her under the bus in the worst way.
Her behavior
in the next challenge does not support that.
No, I know. There was, man, she was so upset.
I know. You see that, Brad? You see?
Who made it over the wall first? That's not the challenge.
That was so good.
That's not the challenge.
Did you see that, Brad?
You see it? He's like, yeah, I don't, why are you mad at me? I don't understand.
Oh my God.
He's a wanker.
What was the thing she said about Haley? About, he's so far up your ass, his eyeballs are coming out of your mouth.
I literally could pull to like 20 Debbie clips for this whole thing.
That was a pretty amazing one. That was, I mean, and also like the argument was a little odd because Brad, according to her, was a dictator who was totally kissing Haley's ass.
Yeah.
So
that fight was so, that was to me, I was so stressed out. That was a very stressful. I mean, I was as entertained by Debbie as I was like, I don't think I can watch this show. I'm so stressed out right now.
Yeah, well, that is, I mean, that's an unusual fight.
Yeah.
They don't normally go that way on the show.
There isn't usually a lot of heart crushing going on, at least not out in the open.
And I love Ty was just like, I'm it's a little bit scary.
I tried to comfort her and she was so angry. Like when she's like, he's trying to be nicer and she's just screaming at him.
Kind of a crazy lady. What did you, I mean, there wasn't a ton of Ty this episode, but did you have any impression of Ty, Andy?
He's the greatest and I want him to be my friend and I would want to just hang out on an island with him. He was great.
Honestly, you would. Scott can attest to this. As soon as I saw Ty was coming back, I said we should have you on as a guest this season because he just seemed like
somehow we both just knew like you would love Ty.
Oh my god, I love him. I was really I've spent a lot of time watching the episode worried that you guys would be like, oh well, you only saw him this episode. Every other episode, he's a total asshole.
No. He, I mean, in his first, he's had times where his main flaw, you know, is that he can be wishy-washy and want to please everybody, and then he ends up hurting people because he has to vote them out.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
So
I mean, what if there's no way he's going to win, right? Because that would be, like, the most wonderful thing if he won.
I don't think he will win. His first season, he made it to the end. But over the course of the season, he went from being someone everybody thought if you let him go to the end, he will win because he's so lovable to if we take him to the end, he probably won't get any votes because he's upset so many people who thought he was wonderful. And he is wonderful, but he was very wonderful to them. And then he voted them out. You know?
He has to vote someone out.
What?
He had to vote someone out.
Did, yeah. So he didn't handle that part of the game very well, you know, and he wasn't a smooth operator.
Yeah, no. I think
so he didn't get any votes at the end.
I think there's the language barrier with him.
That too. Although Jeff Probst has said in interviews he thinks sometimes Ty also uses the language barrier advantage if he can be non-committal or act like he doesn't understand something if he doesn't want to answer.
I bet people talk in front of him more,
yes,
too.
I could see that.
Because he's trustworthy, and I think he could probably play up his sort of... I mean, if he wanted to, he could be a real killer.
But he doesn't want to. I mean, he is known for, on the first season, like, basically adopting, befriending one of the chickens, naming the chicken Mark after his boyfriend... And
it was named after Mark Burnett, but
after Mark. But his boyfriend's also named Mark. So whoever it was
Burnett.
Named after.
His boyfriend's name is Mark Burnett.
Yes,
Mark
Burnett. Exactly.
Different Mark Burnett. Same Mark Burnett. Yeah. And like basically keeping that chicken alive to where everybody thought of the chicken as their pet, which is, you know, a bunch of starving people. And he also had our favorite moment, which we love to recount, which is you would love this. In his first episode, when he went off to look for the hidden immunity idol, and he's not good at being sneaky, and people came up and kind of found him, or like, oh, what are you doing, Ty, looking for the hidden idol? And his response was, yeah, I am. Could I have maybe 15 more minutes? That's Ty.
That's like this friend of mine told me a story about her mom that she got mugged once, and she offered to write the mugger a check because she didn't have enough money on her. I feel like that's something that I would do.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
But he'd be like, I only have a couple dollars. Can I write you a check? I'm Ty.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, and Ty and Debbie were on together their first season. I really thought Debbie was going to vote it out.
Yeah, but then they won.
Thanks to her getting over the thing first.
I know. Did you see that? Did you guys see that? Well, I took gymnastics for 10 years. But don't use her on the balance beam. Don't send the gymnast.
Yeah, but, you know.
I don't think that, I don't know what, I mean, I didn't have a lot of time to read a lot of stuff, but I read Jeff Probst's weekly, Entertainment Weekly chat, and they asked him, or Dalton Ross asked him, was Debbie right about it taking more time for Haley? And Probst was like, well, I think sometimes hunger and stress and anxiety can color the way people remember things.
So Debbie is crazy. So,
yeah.
But he didn't straight up say she's wrong.
I don't remember the exact quote, but he said that her memory didn't match up to the footage they had or something like that.
You know? She's wrong.
You could read between the lines.
I'm with Debbie.
Now I've decided.
That was awesome when she. I won't do it. See, now I decided. I decided what you all wanted. That I will do what you wanted. That is my decision.
Oh.
Yeah.
And her 8-pack.
Oh yeah, her 8-pack.
How about when she was like, I don't get stressed out. I don't get pissed off. I don't get angry. I just take it out on my workout.
I'm just going to, in the middle of a conversation, flip over and do some push-ups.
She flipped over and did anger push-ups.
Like, I'm just going to show you my sinewy body, and I'm going to turn over again and yell at you.
She is in great shape.
She is sinewy.
Oh,
yeah, I
goodness.
So to go back briefly
I'll
to
give
that,
her that
laugh,
if she gets it by getting her anger out.
To go back to the maniacally crying bit, my read on that is that it was like a nervous laugh, like she realized I probably shouldn't have yelled here, and if I laugh, maybe they'll think I was just doing a bit.
You are totally right.
I think you're right. Yeah,
that's what that's what I thought. But
she was like, so mad she couldn't even pull it off. Like, yeah, so she just looked super insane. I love that. That's totally right.
Yeah, I've done that before where I'll be upset and I'll yell at someone, and then mid-yell, I'll be like, I should not be yelling. And then I'll try to turn it into a joke.
That's how you knew. You identified with it.
Yeah.
And then you flip your sinewy body over onto the sand.
Yes, exactly. I wish.
Do you remember, like, last week they had that trailer, the preview for this week, where they showed Debbie flipping out on Brad?
Yeah.
And our big question was, what happens? What does Brad do?
Yes, totally.
The answer is nothing.
Literally nothing.
He's a wanker. Like,
that scene when she goes, I'm really good at balancing. And he's like, okay, so you do that. And in the transcript will read that he decided she will do that. So she is technically correct that he made that decision.
Yeah.
But it seemed to be at her suggestion. I don't know.
This was such a good
Do you think she calls him a wanker to make herself seem more like sophisticated? Because she's using like a British term.
He's a wanker.
It's in one of the most sophisticated British terms.
Yeah, it is, really.
That, to me, just, there's just too much.
I think she called him the C word first, but then they made her redo it.
Do you think she would have gotten voted off? Because if they had gone, I think she would have. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I don't think it would have been a tough sell at all.
I think at this point, Haley had assimilated enough.
Yeah,
into their tribe.
I totally agree. I think it wouldn't be hard for them to go, Debbie's because already close
Andy
with
Haley,
Ty.
Yeah, she was the odd person out from when they mixed up the tribes. Yeah.
Haley is the cartoon character-y beautiful, like with her like curly mass of hair. Like
Hermione.
When do you mean?
Poofy. Yeah.
But so how often
does you're saying Haley is like a cartoon
character? Yeah, yeah.
Cartoon character?
She's like, like draw a pretty lady on a beach.
Well, I didn't know if you meant the blonde on the same team, Sierra.
I have blonde blindness. I don't even know who that person is.
Well, good. She's like one of the most boring people on the show.
Yeah.
Haley is at least somewhat interesting this season.
So, but here's my question. How often does it happen on the show that people vote people off just because you're like, I can't be on an island with this person anymore. They're so insane.
Every once in a while.
Because I feel like that's what this, I mean, you I just it, yeah. can't live with that person.
They're I insane. Think it would have happened with Debbie. It happens.
Yeah.
The, more and more in recent years, people are able to hold their noses. There's always somebody who can't do it, but there's, I think... In recent years, strategy has evolved enough that people understand that they should keep those people on if they can, if they need, if it benefits them. But sometimes they're still just so annoying they have to get rid of them immediately. That does happen. I mean, and it might have happened last night. It happened probably with Abby Maria, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely happens. I think it happens early on in the season more often than it does later. If someone that annoying right. makes it to like the top 8 or 9, they're probably in for the long haul.
I mean, JT was ready to vote out Michaela basically for that reason.
Yeah.
Early she didn't found... seem that bad.
No, she's not that bad.
She doesn't seem that bad, no.
I mean, I did... really hate the way she drank from her tin cup.
Oh.
But
I thought she's a little dramatic. She's a little
dramatic. But she, I mean, I would just based on this one episode, I was so happy to see JT go.
Yeah, they really
he had to go.
Yeah. They really made him look bad.
Man, they played him so
it was good.
Well.
Yeah.
A fiddle.
I really wish he had actually. So do you know this, Scott? He actually wasn't able to bring his idol to the tribal.
Yeah, apparently
animus.
He said that in the. I didn't know he wasn't able to.
Yeah. It sounds like he made a mistake.
Oh, well, maybe he just. Yeah.
I just heard he didn't bring it.
My guess is he chose not to because it would have been too difficult to get it.
Right, like he had hidden it somewhere and just made the decision.
See, there I go.
I don't want to attract the attention of me getting it because I think I'm safe.
Yeah, there I go, just giving him way too much credit again. But, yeah, I mean, it was bonehead for sure. But I wish he had brought it and gotten voted out within his pocket because it would have made their performance even that much better. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, because they didn't know he had an idol, but they had to assume that he might.
Yeah.
And that's why they played him so they could not run the risk of him pulling an idol out.
Yeah. All right. I
was surprised Michaela was able to act so well.
I know. She was great. Before we get to that, before we get to Tribal, let's talk about which we talked about earlier, which is the 7 drops of coffee and a scoop of sugar.
I love that play by Tennessee Williams.
It's one of his more daring works.
7 drops of coffee and a scoop of sugar, please, darling. It was so... what the fuck was going on? I was so confused at that point.
That was so weird.
I was super excited once the, strategizing and when Sandra was being amazing. But, what initially was happening when she was asking for the coffee and the sugar? That's what confused me. Was she just, wanted something that was, a candy?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know why he was so upset about it. I think JT felt like she's going to waste a whole spoonful of sugar on just 7 drips of coffee. Whereas you could look at it, the glass half full, so to speak. You could look at it and say, oh, she's using her spoonful of sugar. But only 7 drips of coffee. Great.
Yeah.
More coffee for me.
She's using less resources.
She would probably use the spoonful of sugar in a full cup of coffee. So,
yeah. So
what's the big deal, JT?
Did JT want her to use like an analogous amount, like one grain of sugar if he was gonna she's gonna use 7 drips of coffee.
Like, should be 1.4 grains sugar per
but
7
having,
drip.
Having not watched the show before, I was like really distracted trying to figure out like, is that a normal thing on the island? No. You order your coffee by droplets?
Yeah. Like, it's called a survivor latte.
Yeah, no, that's what we call a survivor first.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Jeff Probst calls a survivor first.
That's
We've
why
never
she's a game changer. Before.
Exactly. That's how she changed the game. By
super
see, Andy, by the way, half of the cast of the season in no way should be on a season called Game Changers. But I won't waste our audience's time on that rant again. But and Michaela's great, but she's not a game changer. Until tonight, she's the first person to not only invent that little candy, but also she's the first to do prop comedy during.
Yeah, I thought she was going to do a spit take, didn't you? I thought it was like the world's most telegraphed spit take.
I mean, I think it's like a meme that she's doing. Like,
yeah,
you know, she's just going to sit back and drink her tea and watch the show or something like that.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think so, yeah.
Is anybody, or do we have any young people on the line?
Wait, are you saying it's a pre-existing meme or she was hoping to become a meme? I didn't know what you were asking.
I feel like she's recreating, if not a meme, like not that she's hoping to become one, but it's that she's doing something that I should recognize. that maybe people younger than me would like instantly recognize. Yeah, that's what you do. In that situation.
You drink from a cup and look mad?
Yeah. Like, you look like you don't care.
Yeah, I feel like that's just, she was just doing, I like the idea of the prop comedy.
You cut out for me, so whatever you said, I endorse.
She likes the idea of prop comedy. Yeah, I do too. So let's talk about Sandra's big move here, right?
So good.
I did not see this coming.
That she would
when she
yet again
turned it around.
Blame someone that she would yet again for the third season in a row do something devious and blame it on someone else. Like,
well, I suppose I should have seen that coming. Well, see, the first time she didn't blame it. That she just let people.
That's
blame
where she got
it.
The idea, though.
And she let her main ally take the fall. but no, I didn't. I mean, when she, I was trying to figure out. I thought, well, maybe she doesn't like Michaela. When she was framing Michaela, I was like, oh my God, this is kind of mean. This is dirty. And I guess she wants to get Michaela out and maybe get JT more interested in getting Michaela out than in getting herself out. And then when she totally flipped it around and was like, okay, now I'm going to save Michaela. And it turned out what she was doing was basically getting JT so off the trail. Yeah. I mean, Sandra wasn't even in the conversation. Otherwise it would have been between JT and Sandra.
Wait, was Michaela in on Coffeegate?
No. Only
that's
Jeff
what was so
was.
Great. At the end, not Jeff Probst, but the player Jeff, who was on the season 2, which you watched, but he looks very different now because he's
who the hell is
15
Jeff?
Years older. The other guy who voted with Sandra and Michaela, the guy who was there when Sandra did her
Southern dude
sugar. Yeah, Southern dude, and Sandra ate the sugar, and he was right there, and he's like, oh.
Yeah, can I just say how genius it is, by the way, to rope in Varner? She knows that that is right up his alley, too.
Yeah,
like
he's a stirrer.
Yeah, and she knows that he likes working with people who do that. Remember how eager he was to work with Abby Maria? Like,
yeah, he's the one who engineered one of the greatest, you know, moments in early Survivor history when... When Kimmy said, you know, don't wag your finger in my face.
Exactly.
And And Alicia said, I will always wag my finger in your face. That whole fight was instigated by Jeff Varner, who got them fighting against each other, smiled and winked at the camera, and walked away into the woods.
Yeah. So Sandra knows. She knows, like, I can let Jeff in on this, and he is not going to rat me out because he likes this kind of stuff just as much as I do. So smart. So smart. And then can I just say,
well, also, it's smart of him to go with her. Go ahead.
Totally. And then can I also say it's totally smart of Sandra to come clean in front of everyone at the end, because then Jeff doesn't have anything over her going forward.
Yes. And yeah, I bet I know Jeff is devious and sneaky, and he was thinking, great, yes, I have this info on Sandra.
Exactly.
And she just copped to it immediately. And then Michaela had no reason to be mad at her.
Yeah. I just want to say, no one can ever say, I don't know, Sandra's not a good player. She got lucky both times she won. I
mean, and Andy, we've put up with this for the last 14 years of people telling us that Sandra is not a good player, even though she's won
amazing.
Twice. She's a
yeah.
G.
Yeah.
Amazing. This was, I mean, and her at Tribal Council, she just played it so well. She was just like, well, she defended Michaela, yet also, you know, was like, but we have basically said, you know, but I'm voting with JT. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was.
And
so
he felt
good.
So safe.
Yeah.
And you knew as soon as he started saying things like, you know, the fill in, you're just filler and all that stuff.
Oof.
Yeah.
I was like, and he was like, I'm really excited or something. I was like, oh God.
Am I allowed to say things about Tribal Council? Are we at Tribal Council?
Yeah, go for it.
Say anything about anything.
Okay. I would just like to say that if you did not know that JT was not smart, it was revealed with his stupid middle school Stussy style exclamation mark that he had.
Stussy.
I was like, what? It just was so disgusting. And
on
at that moment.
On his vote for Michaela? Is that
yeah, on his vote for Michaela. I feel like that just is like his weird. When I say Stussy style, I mean that S doodle that everyone does. Or like that you would like draw on the bottom of your Converse. Like
I know
like,
exactly what you mean.
Not to see the actual shirt brand. I feel like they wouldn't have that exclamation mark. But no, it was so such a as someone who has not watched the show, I feel like I learned everything I needed to know about JT from that exclamation mark.
Yeah,
it's too bad that it came at the end.
I feel like he has become more of. I think we talked about this. He's like more of a hillbilly.
Yes, more
than
of
he
a
used
hillbilly.
To be.
Yes,
he seems
well, he's got that
to
tooth. Like his tooth got worse.
Is that the tooth that he lost on the show?
Presumably, I don't know.
have they turned the tooth into immunity idol?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a shark's tooth.
Yeah.
I don't think of it. He didn't seem like a hillbilly to me because I can't. You know, you don't have any of your like signals because they're all just like
right
dirty shirtless people with schmatas on their heads.
Right at this point.
What about when he called Michaela Honey Bun?
Oh, I you know I didn't track that, but
yeah.
Can you say that again? You cut out.
Oh yeah, when he called Michaela Honey Bun, she was like,
I missed that. Too.
She's like, who could have eaten the sugar? I don't know who could have eaten the sugar. You're the only one who eats it, JT. And he's like, we all know who ate it, Honey Bun.
Oh.
Something like that. Yeah, it was really gross.
That's
like that.
Gross.
That was the moment where I was like, oh, they showed that. He's going home.
Yeah, they wouldn't show that if he won.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, I just gotta, it's just like, I mean, Sandra, the way she set it up, she never once said Michaela did this.
No.
It was all, so when all was said and done, the dust clears, even though Sandra manipulated the whole situation, she's now got a firm ally in Michaela who just knows that, like, Sandra... Yeah, she ate the sugar, and JT blamed me.
Yeah.
And then Sandra saved me, and we secretly voted him out. I mean...
So good.
That's a loyal... And I got to tell you, there's... there is certainly a lot of game left to be played, and there's a lot of possible scenarios of who could make it to the end. But if those three stay together, Sandra, Michaela, and Jeff Varner, and if they go to the end together, that would be amazing. And I think Sandra could win in that scenario.
What am I gonna put my tongue in a sugar jar for?
I think she could beat them. But for Varner, I think that, and he obviously, I think he definitely made the right choice with who to go with.
Yeah.
So smart. He's JT is not going to want to stay with Jeff Varner for the whole game. And, you know, Aubrey, I love Aubrey, but she's clearly, you know, not in the loop. But also,
Aubrey is so not in the loop that when she showed up at Tribal Council, it was like a ghost had appeared out of nowhere. I was like, who is that person? I've watched this whole episode.
Yeah, I know.
I know that she, I can't remember if this is actually what she was she wearing like a sweater?
Yeah, like a smock.
because it looked to me like she was like a hipster, like in Echo Park, that was watching the show, and then like lightning struck, and she got teleported to Tribal Council.
Yeah, you're not far off. Remember, in this episode, she had one confessional, I think, and it was, I don't remember the name of our tribe, was the gist of it. So Aubrey did not look good in this
episode.
Wait,
what was it? I'm sorry.
She basically was like, I don't remember the name of our tribe.
Oh, yeah.
She might be actually my favorite.
You know, Aubrey was, you would have loved Aubrey on her. She was on the season with Ty and Debbie, and she went to the end with Ty. They were very close allies, and she was like the nerdy girl who had an anxiety attack in episode one and then like sort of masterminded the season and should have won, but did not.
You just reminded me why Sandra probably does not want to work with Aubrey, and that's because Sandra really is afraid of those four people that were from that season. So that makes sense.
Yeah, she knows there are four people from the same season, and she doesn't want to work with them because she assumes they'll work together. Also, I mean, she probably knows that Aubrey is, you know, a smart strategist, which is great, but that means that Aubrey knows she needs to get rid of Sandra at some point. Whereas Michaela will stick with Sandra, I believe, if push comes to shove.
I think she will
be loyal and values loyalty. And Jeff Varner, the smartest play for him, Jeff Varner is a guy who's played twice and has never made the jury. All he wants, I bet, is to make that jury.
I know.
He's got to make the jury in his mind. And Sandra has the most compelling argument. I know how to get to the end.
Yep.
They probably will never vote for me. Who's going to vote for me to win for a third time? But I'll tell you what, I'll get you to the end. I'll get you to day 39.
Oh, man.
I know how to do it. It's a brilliant, because it's true. And if I'm Jeff Varner, I'm like, okay, I'll hitch my wagon to Sandra. I went it alone two seasons.
Yeah, it's also the hand he was dealt in a way.
You know?
Yeah.
In both seasons, he was dealt a very bad hand, and luck was a big part of his departure, for sure.
Yeah.
Bad luck. But he's, you know. Now, can we just talk briefly about the invisible tribe?
Tavua?
Yeah, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
The one that I didn't know was there?
They've never been a tribal council.
Yeah, there's six people
who've
never been to tribal council yet.
All we basically saw of them were two of their less interesting characters deciding to form an alliance.
Yeah.
That happened in this episode?
Yeah. There was a girl named Sarah who was like, this time I'm playing like a criminal.
Oh, right.
Because she's a cop.
And then she was like, I know when criminals are lying, and I know that was her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I think she thinks she's a lot better at this than she is.
Definitely. So I wonder why they showed us that, because it had no bearing on this episode.
I think so they can use it later. They must have something to do with something.
They must set something up for later. So, again, Troy's got that hidden idol, and my girl Ceree... Mm-hmm. is on that tribe.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about it.
The idols are not ending up in your favorite players' hands this season, are they?
No, no, not at all.
Well, there's so many of them. There's time.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually.
There's an idol for every person at least once. There's thousands of them.
Thousands. There's an idol under every rock. In fact, every rock is an idol. That's the player who figures that out will be the winner.
Yeah, maybe the survivor legend that's coming in the next episode is going to just hand out idols to everyone.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that. But I was just going to say, like, with these tribes, like, is it possible? You raised this, I think, a week ago or so, Ryan. Like, could we be getting sort of a San Juan del Sur type situation, my friend, where the stars of the pre-merge game are different?
Yes,
you know, and these storylines play out, and all these people like Sandra and even Brad and all these people, most of them are wiped out, and then the next wave comes in.
That's I honestly really think that. I think the people that we're seeing the least of are the people who go the furthest. I really do.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I know.
Because there's some really boring people
at least
in that group.
Then my runner-up winner pick might do well, hopefully.
Who was your runner-up?
Andrea.
She's in the Invisible Tribe, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And she's been practically invisible on the Invisible Tribe. But, I would have been interested to hear Andy's take on Zeke, but I don't think we heard a word from Zeke.
Well, he won the slide puzzle. That's it. He's the guy with the mustache who won the slide puzzle.
Oh, I do like his style. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
But I find him to be very watchable.
He had a great quote you would have appreciated on his first episode. His first season was the
Hey, Scott.
I remember exactly. I'll be quick. Right. Just, Andy, you would have loved Zeke had this amazing quote on his first episode. He was on the Millennials tribe on Millennials versus Gen X. And they were really young, like, a lot of surfer, stoner, laid-back people. And then there's Zeke, who's, I think, older than most of them. And he was like, I mean, I'm on the Millennials tribe, and I technically am a millennial, but what did he say? He's like, I look like I should be playing in the Canasta tournament at the old folks' home, and that's where I'd be most comfortable. So right away, you're like, all right, I'm on board with Zeke.
Yeah, Zeke's great. He's funny, super, super good character. I'm excited to see more of him, hopefully.
But it's like you've got Ozzy and Suri on that tribe, but we never see what's going on over there.
Yeah, well, Ozzy does catch fish. So
yeah, so that hasn't changed. Well, is there anything left to discuss from this episode?
Yeah,
there's
also
the preview.
I want to talk about Sandra mugging for the camera. I really loved that moment. She's done it before. She's really one of the few people who's actually done that and had it make the episode. And she did it again, and it was great.
Because it's always so genuine. She's so real, you know? And she's like a savant with this game. She just knows what to do, when to do it. I could talk about Sandra all. It was just another. It's crazy. Like, you know, I don't start watching the show till usually 10 o'clock or so, and I'm pretty tired. And then the second week in a row, the tribal council, I'm suddenly literally at the edge of my seat, sitting up at the edge of my seat and like occasionally pounding on an ottoman.
Oh, man.
The Scott Chernoff story.
Occasionally pounding on an ottoman.
That'll be the name of my autobiography. Oh, man. Is there anything else from Tribal to talk about?
I don't have any questions about Tribal, but I do have a general Survivor question that
Love it.
Might be like super obvi to your listeners. But so the tribe names, do they pick the Survivor producers pick those tribe names, or do they pick their tribe names?
They pick when they merge when they all merge into one tribe, they pick their own name. But at this stage, they have not picked their own names.
So, but they're always like these. They've never not been like gibberish.
Yeah, usually they're like a local word, right?
Well, when the Survivor people make it, I'm sure they do some research.
Yeah, it's all based on a local island or a local.
But then when they blend together, is it like Villaraigosa or whatever? They like blend them into.
Sometimes they do that. They do a Villaraigosa. Sometimes they make up a word. Sometimes they are really lazy and they like
the Cougars. Come up with
really bad crap. Yeah, there have been some really bad ones.
Really bad ones. My favorite are the ones that production rejected. Like I don't know. I think it was Tyson who wanted to name the merged tribe Taite Waite on Bud versus Water. I think that was Tyson. I can't remember.
That sounds like a Tyson.
Totally.
Well, it's hard because if they all are like, you know, just names that are part of, you know, where the local, wherever they are, where they're stationed, don't know the difference between any of the tribes.
I never know the difference.
And it's never referred to as like the red team and the green team because that's not mystical enough.
Occasionally it is, and the seasons where it's easiest are when the theme. Well, first of all, there was the season Heroes versus Villains where the tribes were literally called Heroes and Villains.
See, I'm on board with that.
That has happened once or twice, but there's also been times where they've had a theme like Brains, Brawn, Beauty, or, you know, I think the season you watched for our podcast was the White Collar, Blue Collar.
Oh, yeah.
Because Probst he'll just call them, you know, Blue Collars, you know, Brains.
Because that was part, you know, I mean, I guess, I'm not the target audience. They're not trying to get more people to watch Survivor that have never seen it before. I think they just assume everyone.
They wouldn't mind.
But
I think they wouldn't mind, but you know.
But that it does make it difficult.
Most of their new audience that comes in is children. Like that's
like young children?
Yeah, kids watch and grow up with it. Now there have been Andy, this show's been on for 17 years. There are contestants who have been on the show who are like, yeah, I started watching when I was like 8 years old and I've seen every episode.
Do you think that your children are going to write like a version of Cats in the Cradle that has to do with Survivor?
All about how
they
want to
play
them
with you, but you're watching Survivor.
I love where you went with that.
And the snakes and the rats and the silver goats.
Oh my God.
Little Boston Rob and the man.
Oh my God.
And the man who went nude.
Thank you for using references that I would get for our audience.
That's why we're doing this at midnight because I wait till my kids go to sleep.
Well, when
so there
someday you're gonna be like, hey kids, like let's hang out, let's throw a ball around, and they're gonna say, no, I'm watching Survivor.
Oh yeah, I mean he can only hope.
I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it. But don't you think I would just be like, oh, you are? Cool. I'll be right in.
Yeah. My niece
This whole scenario was busted by me saying that you want to throw a ball around with them. So
I will do that. That's how much I love them. Just, you know, hopefully they won't want to.
Yeah. It's a good. It's
I will throw toss a ball with them.
It's a decent family show. I think it's a good family show.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, that's a whole other discussion. Like, I don't know. Some seasons I wouldn't want my kids to see till they're older.
Yeah. No.
Some of them get a little dark, and some of them get a little sexual. I would have to think about which seasons would be appropriate for
Thailand
for kids.
Is not an option. I would also avoid All Stars and Samoa too, like.
Yeah, I don't know if they can see anything with Russell Hansen.
Yeah, exactly. My nieces are like, they desperately want to see Samoa because they have heard so much about Russell. They watched Heroes Villains.
And one specifically about Samoa is not a I don't remember
well,
specifically.
Well, it's just the way he treats
Russell
women.
Being,
the way he treats women is like really, really not good
uh-huh.
for, you know, 8 and 9 year old girls. I don't think.
Yeah.
So we're trying to hold off on Samoa, but they really want to watch it. They want to know why he's so bad.
I don't know when my kids, if they'll ever be interested in it, like how old I would want them to be to watch it.
Yeah.
But it would be fun because it would give me an excuse to go back and watch old seasons.
Yeah, true. Good call.
Now, before we break up this party, can we talk for a minute about that preview?
Yes.
Did you see the preview, Andy?
Yeah, a legend is coming back. And
did they say legend?
I thought they did.
I believe it. I didn't remember. But it can't be that they're actually coming back into the game, right? They said for a visit.
Better they showed a picture of a boat.
It better not be coming into the game.
Here's my guess. You ready for my prediction?
I love it.
Or this is not... It's either a prediction or it's what I think would be cool. Because the boring thing would be they're coming in to host a challenge or judge a challenge or something like that. The cool thing would be something like they're going to play in the challenge. Oh, no. Here was my cool idea. Tell me if you think this would be cool.
All right.
They come in for the reward challenge. What's your reward? You're playing to have Boston Rob or whoever it is be on your tribe to help you during the immunity challenge.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Would that be a killer reward?
I like that a lot.
You get a really awesome player.
He would play.
You would be on your tribe just during the next challenge. So you'd have an extra player who was like an incredible challenge player.
I mean, but doesn't
who also has not been stuck on an island and isn't tired.
Right, and isn't great, feeling great.
Steak dinner last night.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like that's a great idea for a season with all newbies, but a lot of these people are not going to be starstruck by Boston Rob, and some of them might be like, I don't want Boston Rob on my team.
Well, it's not about being starstruck. It'd be about, oh, he could help us win.
I understand that. But like, I think a lot of these people are going to be like, no, we're fine. Because they're not like, because they're not starstruck.
Debbie will say that.
Debbie will say that.
Ooh,
I don't think anybody would say, no, I don't want an extra player on my team.
But
for
you
this
don't
challenge.
Get it. You still have to sit people out. They always have even numbers.
I don't know. Maybe. I thought it would be cool.
I like the idea. Especially,
your idea was very cool.
I like the
Thank
idea
you,
especially
Andy.
For a newbie season. But but yeah, that's a cool idea.
What are some other possible?
Maybe someone's going to come and bury more immunity idols.
I come bearing gifts. I think I read a funny post on Reddit that was like mentioned that, you know, there was a foreign season of Survivor. Can't remember where. Africa, maybe, or maybe Australia or something, where one of the prizes for a challenge was you got Rupert came back to your camp with you and helped you like build your camp up.
That's pretty sweet.
Like,
sweet
this
prize.
This is a Survivor, American Survivor legend, and they were all like, oh, "Who's that?" Like,
although, were they?
Yeah.
And although Rupert also, of all things, is not great at building a camp.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was like,
in fact, he's notoriously bad at it. He's good at like catching fish and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, but it better not be somebody's coming into the game.
No,
that would be insane.
It can't be. Please don't have it be that.
And it's
already enough people. We're already not seeing an entire tribe. They don't need to add any more people.
And the idea isn't that it might be somebody from this season who was voted out, right? Because that would also be awful.
Well, they wouldn't say a legend, would they?
Yeah. I mean, they could. There's
I didn't remember
legends voted
so, yeah.
out. Several legends voted out.
Yeah, I mean, four of the five. There have been how many people voted out? Five.
Yeah,
I'd say four of them were like, you know, pretty huge
I would
players.
Say three were bona fide legends. One was definitely a well known player, and the other one was okay, fine.
Right, exactly, and I know who you mean for each one, but also four of the five have been men. It's a lot of women.
It's such a refreshing change of pace for this show. Last season, 5 of the first 6 people voted out were women of color. And this season, it's been 4 out of the 5 were white men. So that's good. I'll take it.
I want to share also with Andy real quick some of the bad tribe names that I remember that they made up.
Yes.
Well, the first season was not bad. It was Rattana, because there's so much rattan on the island or something.
All right,
like that.
Sure.
That was like, okay. But eventually, by like season 17, was set in Gabon, Africa, and they the merged tribe was Gabon spelled backwards, which is no bag.
Do you remember that movie Goblin, I think it was called, or Goblin 2?
Where they
live in the town of Nilbog.
No.
And then
that
like,
would have been
point,
a better
a character goes, Nilbog is goblin spelled backwards.
That's awesome. That would have been a better tribe name. And then there was another season where they named the merged tribe Dangrain. And it was not, although it wasn't spelled exactly this way, it was basically Dang Rain.
Yeah.
Oh.
And speaking of rejected names, I think they had originally wanted it to be something like Damn Rain or Fucking Rain or
that's
something
funny.
That they wouldn't let them do.
Yeah. Well, what about... So
and then...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Haley. What about Haley's, you were going to say?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I'm sure.
Go for it.
This is the season you watched. I don't remember if they were already merged by then, Andy, but they called their tribe America.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, that might have been your episode. Maybe
it might have been.
Yeah,
I'm looking
now. Okay. Now that leads. Go ahead.
Do you think they would have accepted Gabon Thugs and Harmony as a
if only.
I wish they would have. Yeah. One time, Boston Rob came up with the name for the merged tribe, and it was sounded like a tribe name. I think. I don't remember what it was. And then he said in his confessional, he told them it meant something in the local language.
Yeah.
You know, like it means strength or unity or whatever it was. And then in the confessional, he's like, it's not really that. It's the name of Amber has a teddy bear that she loves. she still has it from when she was a kid.
Oh, you're the best. Oh, Lordy.
So, but this leads me into the America thing leads me into. So that episode that you watched a couple years ago, Andy, we asked you who you thought would win.
Mm.
You, having seen that episode out of context, you chose a character named Mike.
No, she didn't.
Holloway.
She did not.
Didn't she choose
I just
Mike?
Looked. No,
who'd
sorry.
Who'd she choose?
She chose Tyler.
She chose Mike.
She chose Tyler because he worked in casting.
No, first of all, he did not work in casting. He was an assistant at
that's
CAA.
Right. Yes, thank
right.
you. My he did not work in casting. I got confused.
Now I remember. You nicknamed Mike Merlonio the Trickster.
Yes, that's right.
Because he was like a Shakespearean, and Merlonio was like the name of the tribe or something. And you called him Merlonio the Trickster. Nevertheless, that player, who I thought you had picked, went on to win the game.
No,
so
she
now knowing
Tyler
that you do not call the winner last
because he worked for UTA or something. That's what it was.
CAA,
right.
Do you have from this out of context episode that you watched a prediction for who might win the game?
I would, if I was a betting woman, I would bet on someone from the Invisible Tribe that we've not
yeah.
seen.
Okay.
I want Sandra to win.
Yes.
Well, I'm with you on that.
And my fantasy is that Ty wins.
Now I've decided.
We got to keep that drop for like every episode now.
There's so many good ones.
Oh, man.
I think it's going to be someone from the Invisible Tribe.
Interesting. Interesting.
Shuli or JoJo or Bleep Blorp or Karen.
My money's on Bleep Blorp.
It's our first robotic contestant.
I mean, Bleep Blorp almost won its first time.
Designed from the ground up to win Survivor.
I know, it's amazing. It hasn't won yet.
Well,
this is its
not
year.
Very charming, so they, you know, it's yeah. bad at forming alliances.
Yeah,
but so good at balancing challenges.
Go on an immunity streak. Yeah. Just keep winning challenges.
Endurance challenges.
Then it could, you know, really. Yeah, and yeah. then people will really, it'll make it to the end, and people have a reason to vote for it.
Yeah. Bleep blarp.
So your prediction is an invisible person, but you would root for either Sandra or Ty.
Yeah, I mean, Ty would be amazing, but I feel like it's not even worth wishing for.
I think you're right, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do it, but he might make it far again.
Good, because
you have it.
Great.
Go ahead. What?
He's great. He should be on TV all the time.
I still remember when JD Riznar was first on our show and saw Ty, and he was on the beauty tribe of Brains Brawn Beauty. And JD was like, and then there's Ty, who is probably the most beautiful human being I've ever seen my entire life. Like, of course he's on the beauty track.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
No, he's beautiful inside and out. As are you, Andy
Thank
Crocker.
You. I feel that way about both of you gentlemen.
Oh.
Do you have any other thought? I mean, would you ever, are you just going to tune this out? Like, do you have any curiosity to find out what happens?
No, we'll talk about it in a year when you guys ask me on your podcast.
Yeah, when we're like, oh, guess what? Yeah, Ty actually won. Yeah, but you would not like how he got there.
No.
No, I mean, unless Bleep Blorp turns out to be a real thing, I think I'm out until the next time you make me watch this.
Well, it's good that we can count on you to at least watch it for us.
Did you enjoy the episode?
Yes, I did. But I will say, you know, I'm an equal opportunity not watching, like, I don't watch The Bachelor, I don't watch any of the reality shows because I'm a filthy cord cutter, and it's like a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, some of these shows on network TV are kind of hard to watch if you cut a cord.
Yeah, and then it's like not live, and you know.
Yeah,
if I was cord cutting, I would have to I'd pay for that CBS.
Yeah.
Streaming service. You know do the episodes come out like at the same time
yeah,
as they air?
Yeah, they stream in your local area, like at the same time with commercials. Even it's pretty cool, actually. I was at a watch party and we used.
Well, I don't want commercials.
I know. Well, then
the cutest way that you've ever said anything. Oh, no commercials.
Then I think you can watch it without commercials a couple hours after it. It's on. I think they put it up.
Okay.
So it's not too bad.
That's good. I could wait a couple hours.
I'm not sure, though.
You're not sure I could wait?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, Andy Crocker, you've said it all.
I really have. Yeah. I thank you for having me. I'm sorry I don't have anything quite as fun as Merlonia the Trickster this time. But,
you had some good stuff.
You don't downgrade or dangrain yourself. You're a wonderful, delightful raconteur.
Oh.
So delighted and lucky to have you on our little podcast.
Yeah, thanks.
I am super honored. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for toughing it out so late at night.
Oh,
so
I'm,
late
I'm
on
gonna,
a windy night.
I'm going to sleep so hard until my baby wakes me up in about 5 minutes.
Oh. Nice.
All right, well,
thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Oh, gosh. I love that baby of yours. Would you tell that baby I said hi?
I certainly will, except she's going to be like, I don't have time. I'm watching Survivor.
Perfect.
She's 7 months.
Circle of life. All right, Andy. I will talk to you soon. Ryan and I are going to wrap up here. We're going to let you go to sleep.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Andy. Oh, wait, do you want any of the plug? What's the website again?
Playdatecomedy.info.
Playdatecomedy.info. And we could also learn all about you on somewhere, maybe? Twitter?
Yeah, you know, the Googles. You can just Google
just
me.
Just Google
see
it,
what comes
for God's
up.
Sake. Just get off your ass and Google
get
it.
Get off my ass and Google it.
Yeah, exactly. Get off her ass. Get off your own ass. Just do your due diligence.
Get off an ass and Google it.
Okay. Okay. Love That's you, Andy. Heart. Thank you. Good night. Okay.
Scott, should we get Andy into Crocker. Our segments?
Let's do our segments.
Yes. All right. Here we go.
Snake.
Whoops.
Whoa.
I wanted to kill him.
All right. Okay. Here we go.
Hold up, bro.
All right, this is Hold Up, Bro. This is the moment in the show you said, Hold Up, Bro, and you had to rewind and watch it again.
Well, there was a lot. Honestly, what I rewound was I had to hear what Debbie said about the challenge the first time she was talking about how she scooted right across the balance beam in 30 seconds and Haley took 10 minutes. I didn't know if Haley took 10 minutes, but I knew that Debbie didn't scoot across it in one try.
There was no scooting going on. Let's just
and I did, because the first time she said that, I literally like it was like a delayed reaction, like about like 8 seconds later. I was just like, what did she say?
Yeah, I.
What did
I
she
still,
just say?
I and still I, like, can't believe that. That's why back. She got mad. Like, I still can't believe it.
I think she could not handle that. She thought she was gonna scoot across, and she didn't. That's all I can think. That she is psychologically at a point, and no doubt exacerbated by hunger and exhaustion. Lack of sleep, lack of food, all that stuff plays into it, I'm sure. And then she thought she was going to ace it, and she didn't, and she couldn't face it.
Yeah.
That's all I can think. And she just pointed her guns at everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was awesome.
But that's that. I mean, I may have rewound to hear some other things she said, but that's the moment I really remember just being, what? Yeah. Hold on, I gotta hear that again.
Yeah.
What about you, sleepyhead?
I know, sorry. Aside from all of the Debbie stuff, there was one moment that was really, I thought was kind of funny, and I wanted to see again, which was after Ozzy knocks down the last, like, target with the slingshot, Troyzan goes up and puts his arms on Ozzy's shoulders, and Ozzy kind of does the same to Troyzan, and it looked like a very real father and son moment. It was very touching. They definitely look like father and son. Like, they look really similar.
They do, now that you mention it. What if we find out?
Oh, yes. Secretly,
that's the big reveal.
Secretly a blood versus water season?
Well, it happened on Big Brother once.
You're right, but they let us in on it. Right away.
They let us in on it. Oh, did they right away?
Yeah.
But there was so. Like, they were like half siblings or something. Yeah.
Well, there's Big Brother Canada. Two brothers played as one person for the whole season. And spoiler alert, they won because they have a huge advantage. There's two of them.
Right. Well, but that's happened on Big Brother.
Yeah, but they always play as separate people.
Not right away, though.
Eventually,
and but what I'm talking about, anyway, this is, we're way off topic.
I love that.
Is
though.
Not two. I'm talking about on Big Brother, there were two people who didn't know that they were related.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Until they were on the show together, and at some point, they like figured it out.
Right.
It's very weird. They were like,
or something.
No, I think they were siblings.
I don't remember. My Big Brother.
No, they were like half brother and sister, like they shared a father insane. Or something
that's
like
insane.
That yeah
that's insane.
We lost peanut butter.
Anyway, I don't know why we're talking
about
that.
Let's move on to our
that
next segment.
That was like 100 years ago too.
Yeah, here we go.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get
ill regrets.
Alright, this is ill regrets. This is who's gonna have ill regrets about a player decision they made.
It's a tough one.
It is tough because obviously JT, you know, got
it's
so
not
much
eligible.
Focus. Yeah.
I feel like we barely scratched the surface.
You know, the easy answer
this week.
Yeah, the easy answer is Debbie, right? I mean, let's be
honest. Oh, yeah. Forgot about her. How could I forget about Debbie? Yeah. Not only is that the easy answer, it might be the only answer because I'm not seeing anybody else who didn't make the best move they could. I mean, you could say Aubrey will regret being on the wrong side of that vote, but she didn't have the opportunity to not be, and she was fooled, you know.
And it wasn't like a decision she made. I mean, she just she had
it
one decision. Yeah, I mean, it's Debbie.
What was going on? But I it's Debbie.
Yeah, I usually try to get cute and pick someone like next level, but this week it's Debbie.
I mean, Debbie still could make it to the end and be a great goat.
I agree.
Thank you.
Hopefully she does.
More likely not. But there is a world, like I said, there's a universe where Sandra, Michaela, and Varner go to the end. But there's also a universe where, like, Brad and two of the women on his tribe go to the end.
Yeah, there's also a universe where Ceri, Zeke, and Andrea go to the end.
Right. Or Ceri, Zeke, and Ozzy.
Right. Three of those.
A lot
four.
Of universes out
if
there.
If I had to pick right now, I'm kind of with Andy. I would say final three is going to be three of those four people.
Man, if Ceri makes it to the end, I'll be very happy. If it can't be Sandra, it's got to be Ceri.
No, I agree. I agree. I'm with you.
But we didn't. Did she have any confessionals last night?
I'll tell you that. I have the confessional counts pulled up.
Ceri
did not have. But I don't think anyone from Tavua had one.
Well, wait, no, Troy and Sarah,
Troy had one. Sarah had two. No one else had any.
Not Ozzy.
Nope. No Ozzy, no Ceri, no Zeke, no Andrea, And then Sierra was the only other person with no confessionals. So that's good. That's good for our hoping Sierra doesn't win.
Yeah. I could see the end being Brad and Sierra and Haley, or Brad and Debbie and Haley.
You know, I will say this, like, of the people that don't have a lot of confessionals, Ceri is right up there in the pack. Like, she has seven, and there's many, many people with four or less, including Aubrey.
Being in the middle of the pack can be a good thing for a female winner.
Totally.
I think we're both agree that Debbie has some ill regrets this week. She may, even if she doesn't get cut for it, it certainly doesn't bode well for her chances to win. Nobody on that tribe is going to ever take her very seriously again.
I agree. All right. Last segment. Here we go. We only like it if it's loud.
We only like it if it's loud. Go! I can get loud too. What the? Hello to me.
Hello. You D. All right. This is getting loud. Who got loud this week, Scott?
Who got loud?
Come on.
Who the original? The original queen who got loud. Yes. The queen stays queen and adios.
Adios.
I mean, this was some... I mean, look, we've seen times where Sandra has risen to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen times where she's known for the anyone but me strategy, which is, I believe, you know, an active choice and a strong strategy. But people would say, oh, she didn't do anything other than anything but me. We've seen in the past when she has been threatened and she has done things to turn the tide. She
convinced Russell to vote out Coach.
Right. Perfect example. Yeah. That was all Sandra's doing. So we know she can do that. And she's in the past not had to as much. We've also seen her try like she wanted to get Russell out many times and she couldn't get anyone on the Heroes tribe to go with her. But this season, man, even if she gets voted out next, which I don't think she will be.
I don't think so. Well, no, there's a merge. There's like a some sort of swap or merge coming.
Swap or a merge. I think they're going to divide back into two tribes is my prediction.
And then one person will go to exile.
One person will go to exile.
Yeah, it's what they did on Brains Brown Beauty 2.
Is it? And then they will, like, whoever gets voted off, they will replace that person on whatever tribe. That's my guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's an odd number.
That was Julia. That happened to Julia. Remember, I think they split into three No, two.
For her.
Yeah.
Anyway. Split into two. I think though, because there's 15 people left, I don't think they're merging into one tribe.
No.
So I think they're probably splitting into two tribes of seven. That might be, I don't remember when they did it on Cambodia, but I think they went back to two before they went to one. I think.
Sounds right. I don't remember. God damn.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, yeah, well, on her tribe right now, she's sitting pretty. But, you know, I don't know what would get her voted out at this point.
I do. I mean, if she ends up with a bunch of people from Tavua on a tribe with like...
Right. If she ends up being the odd person out, then...
I don't even think she needs to be the oddest person out. She's still a huge target.
She is.
And if she doesn't have enough time to work people, you know?
Right. That's true. Well, yeah, that's why I'm nervous every week for her because she's super vulnerable.
Totally.
but what this all stemmed out from was me saying, even if she does get voted out next, she has just dominated this game, at least from what we've seen. She has dominated her tribes so masterfully and so brilliantly.
So great.
So aggressively and so boldly and fearlessly. She's not afraid.
Yeah, but she's also playing her game. You know what I mean? It's not like she's just going out there and going, I need to play hard now because no one believes I can. This is just a version of her game where she actually does have to make moves. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she's totally capable of it. That's one of the things that I think people tend to forget about Sandra, is that even though it seems like she hasn't done anything, she's totally capable of doing stuff, and we're seeing it here, and I love it. I'm so happy.
You're right.
She
doesn't do it if she doesn't have to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice to finally have, okay, fine. You don't think Sandra did anything her first two seasons? Watch Game Changers, and you'll see the true magic of Sandra.
Oh,
it's been fantastic.
It's been so fun. And like when she was framing Michaela, I was just in shock because I'm willing to accept anything on Survivor strategically, but I was like, man, that is dirty.
I loved it. Like, while it was happening,
I loved it too.
No, I loved it strategically, because it's a perfect anybody but me play, right? Because it's so,
it created the situation.
It's so clear to JT that it was Michaela. He's not going to think it was anyone else.
Yeah, she created the situation where, like I said before, where it became about those two.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt she could do it again with other people, I guess is part of what I'm saying. But whatever situation she ends up being in, there usually seems to be somebody else that people want to vote out even more.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
And the other thing is that JT was one of the most gung-ho to get rid of her.
I know.
The people on whatever Culpepper's tribe is called aren't. Because they had their chance and they chose Malcolm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Sandra has met her at least probably a mini goal of hers, which is to make sure that no one else can win twice. She's now succeeded in that.
Yeah, until anybody has a chance on a season that Sandra's not on.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to make sure there's no other two-time winners.
I don't think she set out to do that, but as soon as Tony started snaking on her and as soon as JT started, like, I really think she probably wanted to work with Tony at first.
I don't know, because in pre-game interviews, she talked about wanting to be the only two-time winner, and she wanted to make sure those two did not win. She might have been willing to work with Tony in the beginning. You know, I think she probably would have been willing to work with them in the beginning, but make sure that they didn't win.
Yeah, fair enough.
But at this point, but when they had to go was also when they were actively trying to get her out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there you go.
So that's the queen stays the queen.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's just like,
so cocky, but totally backing it up. I love it.
Who works on the show I work on. And then I'm backing it up. Who I just discovered yesterday is also a Survivor fan. And we talked about it for like 5 minutes yesterday. And he's a big fan, but not at our super fan level. So he doesn't know the characters as well as we do. But he was like, I'm like, well, do you like Sandra? And he's like, I'm starting to. It's like, I didn't really like her much before, but I'm starting to. And, you know, he was really upset that Malcolm was gone. And he was really, he's like, I like JT. He's crazy. He's fun. But so then this morning I just saw him and like walked in. He walked up to me like half shell shocked. And he's like, we just both said, the queen stays the queen. That was it. That's all we said.
In unison.
Queen stays the queen.
I love it. That's amazing. Well,
how long can the queen stay the queen?
I think with that story, Scott, it's now likely that we have said it all.
We have said it all.
I think we have.
One day we got to do something where we go through some of the reviews and comments and emails we've gotten, but not tonight.
Yeah,
Ryan,
we
want to put that bug in your ear.
We could start like a listener section. I mean, we have so much. We do so much.
Well, I know we might have to, but you know, we always go so long, and here we are going long again. But I'm just saying we've gotten some great.
This one's actually reasonable length.
We've gotten some great stuff, and I want to thank. We've gotten a lot of stars.
Yes, keep
the stars. We always say to rate us on iTunes
and give us stars on Twitter. I love that.
Well, now we're that's the thing is now we are accepting stars via Twitter. You know, but still we'll take them in iTunes. One even star is better than zero is my philosophy. But we did get, there's some funny iTunes reviews if you want to go check them out. There's one that's like, love the concept of the show, hate the hosts. that's a
really?
Recent review on iTunes. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Or no, I think he said it was similar. I mean, it was like I got somebody else to listen, and that was their take. It was a take on our show. And with that, please join the fun, rate us and review us on iTunes. Yes. Blah blah blah. Comment on our website. Visit Ryan Elder Music or Scott Chernoff on Twitter, and just really, you know, join the conversation, man. Look,
yes,
2017, and you know, this is a two-way street. Am I right, Ryan?
Yeah. Scott lets you and I brainstorm a way to get listeners involved a little bit, because that's fun, and people, you know, people like that.
Let's do some brainstorming. I would love to interact with the listeners, with the kids. I'm gonna call them the kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Ryan, thank you for doing all the work. And thank you, Andy Crocker. And thank you, Survivor.
Yeah.
And thank you,
thanks,
Queen.
God.
Long live the Queen.
Long live the Queen.
Long live the Queen.
Bye.
That's how we have to end the show from now on.
As long as she lives.
Yes. All right.
Long live the Queen.
Tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.